All right, everybody, welcome back into Mining Stock Daily, and we are going to conclude this Tuesday with another corporate update from an old friend over at Revival Gold. I'm happy to welcome in CEO Mr. Hugh Agro. Hugh, welcome back. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Trevor. Good to be back with you.
Yeah, listen, the name of the game with Revival Gold here in 2024 really is expansion. I guess that sums it up. Expansion, not only at the Bear Track Arnett project, where you've expanded your land position there, but you also are taking on a new company called Ensign Minerals. You've agreed to acquire them. It's going to come with a little bit of a price tag, which is going to require a little bit of a brokered equity financing as well. But really, maybe let's start with that general theme here, expansion with Revival Gold. And really, you know, is this the year to do that?
Yeah, it's all about growth in gold. But you want to do it in an accretive manner, in a way that's adding value per underlying share. And the Revival Gold's acquisition of Ensign does that for sure. We're growing our heap leach ounces per share by 63% with this transaction. We're growing our target heap leach gold production to 150,000 ounces from two proximal projects in the Western United States. We're growing our resources to now 6.2 million ounces of gold. And I want to note that's pure gold, 100% gold, not gold equivalent, making us the third largest development company in the Western U.S. So this is a pretty significant transaction for us. And all while we continue to progress the project we started with at Bear Track Arnett, with, as you point out, the land acquisition, the forward motion on permitting and ongoing exploration.
Maybe let's stick with this announcement of the, I guess, you know, the merger here. Ensign is a private company, but it does come with the Mercer Gold Project in Utah. So you're stepping across borders here outside of Idaho, going into Utah. Hugh, give us a sense of what Mercer has to offer.
Well, the common theme is, of course, Revival Gold's strategy of pursuing gold where it's been mined before, and also from brownfield sites where we can take advantage of existing infrastructure and where we've got supportive communities, which is really important in this day and age. And, of course, we've been looking at opportunities to leverage our team, very high-quality team of folks in Western U.S., familiar with both Utah and Idaho. And this one just went right across the plate for us. We've been looking at it for 3 years, private company. So it's a first exposure to the public market. But boy, 1.6 million ounces, about 90 million tons of 0.6 grams per ton gold in an open pit heap leach scenario on a brownfield site. In fact, private land. So that means we can move more quickly to production. And also in a very constructive location with arid, aspect of this making for less requirement for baseline study work, no water to study. And so all of that, a really good fit for our team, heap leach, for our location, Western United States, for the fact that it's private ground, allowing us to move more quickly. And a really good fit right across the plate for us. And pro forma, the transaction is 65% Revival Gold, 35% shares to the Ensign private company holders. And then we're doing, as you mentioned, we're doing a financing alongside of that, which is looks like it's fully subscribed here, 7 million Canadian to continue the path of adding value.
Yeah. You'll give us a sense of where Mercer is. It's not far from Salt Lake City, so I'd assume that infrastructure looks pretty good.
Yes. In fact, it's a half hour from a town of Tooele, about 40,000 people, paved road right into the project, power line. And, you know, these linear items, roads, power lines, those things are really difficult to permit. So, again, we have a real advantage with that. And we've also got water in the vicinity. There's several water wells that were used in the prior operation by Barrick back in the 90s, which we'll access in due course. And so that really sets us up well in this location in terms of infrastructure.
Okay. You know, reading through the news release, a couple of things we should probably pinpoint. There is involvement with Barrick here with Ensign. Kind of walk us through what that partnership looked like and how that's been amended.
Yeah, so similar kind of situation to Revival Gold. As part of knitting together that 14,000-acre land position, Ensign did an arrangement with Barrick to pick up the core Merkur project. They've also got a whole other western limb as part of that land consolidation. But the core Merkur project area came from Barrick. And the deal is such that some shares, some warrants to purchase shares, and some cash payments were agreed on. The cash payments we had restructured with Ensign, with Barrick, before completing this transaction. And that was an important step for us because we wanted to push out the majority of cash payments to the point of production. So there's $5 million due in January 2026. So that's just under 2 years from now. And then $5 million the year after commercial production, and $5 million each successive years for a total of $15 million of cash payments during construction, $5 million of cash payment in 2 years, just under 2 years, total $20 million U.S. dollars.
Okay. And I apologize, I've been mispronouncing. It's Merkur, not Mercer. So I'll take your lead. Tell me about the recoveries here. I mean, you did provide that data. A lot of people look at this and be like, is there a way to improve some of that metallurgical test work to improve those recoveries at Merkur, Hugh?
Yeah, so this is a inferred resource. It's not an inferred resource because of drill spacing. There's lots of drilling here. We've got some Barrick drilling. We've got over 100 holes that Ensign did, lots of drilling. It's inferred because the metallurgical test work to date has been a direct cyanidation test. And what we've got underway already, even before we close this transaction, working with our partners at Ensign, is column leach tests. And those column leach tests will do a couple things for us. First of all, they will allow us to pin down recoveries more precisely. They will provide direction on crush size for the plant. And that work will wrap up over the next 6 to 8 months and dovetail with the pre-feasibility study work that we're doing, targeted for completion at the end of the first quarter in 2025. So the recoveries right now are in the mid-60s%. And that's based on direct cyanidation tests, which means it's relatively conservative. But we need to do the test work to validate potential opportunities to improve on that. We also have a ton of data to work with, which we'll put into the geological model, both geology and geochemistry. This is something we did, our team did at Bear Track, a lot of historical data. Building towards a PEA. This is right across the plate for our team. In fact, we're taking our engineering team and consultants and moving them over to Merkur to work on this aspect of the project while our exploration team continues to explore and look for and qualify targets at Bear Track Arnett and on the wider property position at Merkur.
I was going to ask you about exploration potential here, but I think you just summed that up. Tell me a little bit, walk me through, permitting here in Utah and the Merkur project as far as what needs to be done, any sort of administrative bureaucratic work to get this work done, Hugh?
Of course, yes. We'll have to go through a process. The big difference, though, because it's private land in Utah on which this resource is located, is that we expect to be dealing principally with the with the state authorities in Utah. That's DOGMA, and Ensign has already initiated meetings with DOGMA to understand their expectations and willingness and process. And so we feel that there's a good start there. We'll have to do a lot of work around that. No question about it. But it's a much more straightforward process than the federal NEPA process, which is what bogs these projects down. you know, it's good to be on a brownfield site. It's good to be on a site that already has those linear permitted items to site. It's good to be on a site where you've got all this private ground and where you don't have a lot of water to deal with, if any. And so those things will make it faster. And so we expect that the Merkur project could be in a shovel-ready position within less than 3 years.
Mm, wow. Okay. Well, we're following this very closely. Maybe it's appropriate for us to head back north and talk about Bear Track Arnett. I mean, you did add more land to that project here earlier this year and kind of talked a little bit about Joss as well. I mean, give us a kind of a summary of adding that land and what's the work to be done here in the spring of 2024.
Well, snow's just leaving us. So in the next couple of weeks, we should be able to get out into the field. And I was talking with our team earlier today, and one of the areas that we want to look at is taking the arrow, the geophysics from the air and bringing that down to the ground with mapping and understanding the magnetics of the different units so that we can use that as a better marker for where we find more gold in the deposit. So getting out on the ground, now that we've done all the desktop work during the winter with the geophysics, with the expanding our understanding of the structure, we can get out and ground truth that with the geologists out in the field. And so that's the first thing we're going to be doing at Bear Track. Again, it's all focused on qualifying those drill targets south of this 5.5 kilometer, 3 mile long mineral resource at Bear Track, and where we've got lots of potential to continue to expand. We are not planning to do any more drilling at the moment. What we want to do is qualify the targets for future drilling. At 6.2 million ounces, I think we've got quite a bit of inventory to work with, but we do have a lot of corporate interest in the project and what we're doing, and you know, we want to continue to move the exploration story forward at Bear Track Arnett. Well, we take Merkur to economics, and well, we move the permitting forward on the first phase heap leach at Bear Track.
Okay. You know, last year you did publish a PFS for Bear Track Arnett. At that time, you used an $1,800 gold price. And so obviously I don't need to remind everybody that was $600 ago in the gold price. Using that and a 5% discount rate, you have an after-tax NPV of $105 million and an after-tax IRR of 24.3%. My question, I guess, is a little bit twofold question here, Hugh. I mean, we are in a little bit different of an interest rate environment. Do you adjust that discount rate a little bit higher given where we're at with rates, but also with the sentiment or not the sentiment, but the adjustments with the gold price, what do those economics look like, even if you were to just stick with that 5%?
Oh my goodness, this is, you're opening up a hornet's nest here talking about discount rates in the gold face.
It's supposed to be your time to shine here, Hugh.
we could have a long conversation around it. There's a lot of black magic that goes into that. Which we could talk about over a drink sometime. But look, I think the reason why most organizations focus in on that 5% discount rate is it creates commonality so you can compare one project to the next. But that's not how we think about whether a project is developable. It's not how we think about financial returns. Of course, banks use much lower gold prices than you know what we typically see at spot. So the $2,300 or $2,400 gold price is not relevant, and we do have to look at what the banks will lend against. We have to look at what the interest rates are on those loans and the fees that are associated with them. But what I would say is at a $1,700 reserve, which is what we used, an $1,800 evaluation of the economics and the 24% IRR that comes out of that are very, very constructive. And particularly when you think about the input capital at $109 million being largely equipment, not earth moving. We don't have to build a road. We don't have to figure out how to cross a river. We don't have to do much in the way of pre-strip or foundation construction. those are the things that tend to go wrong in these projects. And when you're looking at putting a lending package together, if it's equipment, mechanical materials, things that can be just as easily moved off-site if need be, as they can be moved on-site, those make that makes that capital relatively low risk and also relatively well-defined. So what I'm saying to you is 24% IRR, low-risk capital makes this a high-quality project for development. The one challenge we have with Bear Track Arnett, despite the fact that we've got all this infrastructure, we're on a an existing plan of operations, is it will take 3.5 years to complete all of the steps necessary to get to where we can turn a shovel. So if we can do Merkur faster than that, then we can get into production more quickly. That's advantageous to our shareholders.
Okay. So we're starting to see why this this alignment with Merkur was so important.
It's a sequencing that's a natural sequencing, and it's a natural next place for our team to go to on the engineering development side while we progress the repermitting at Bear Track Arnett. And again, we're not sacrificing exploration potential because, well, it's true that we have this grand orogenic gold system at Bear Track Arnett with 4.6 million ounces of gold. It's equally exciting on the Merkur side. This is one of the first Carlin-type deposits identified in the Western U.S., 2.6 million ounces of gold mined in the past. So this is a big endowment right next door, and you will know all about this, to Bingham Canyon, one of the world's biggest copper gold mines, some 50 million ounces of gold produced in this area from that project. So look, this is the right jurisdiction. It's a big land position. And lots of upside on the exploration. So we really come out of this with a win-win for both the Revival Gold and the Ensign shareholders. And I think it's something at $7 an ounce in the ground, third largest U.S. developer, has a lot of upside, from here.
All right. Hugh, thanks so much for that walkthrough. It starts, it really makes sense to me, it sounds like, and I look forward to watching both the Merkur and Bear Track Arnett continue to get pushed forward. Until next time, best of luck to you and everybody on the ground.
Thank you, Trevor.
Yep. All right, everybody, that's your update from Revival Gold. Trading on the Venture with RVG and on the OTCQX with RVLGF. The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.